You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The leopard is a large cat. It resembles the lion and the tiger. These animals generally do not attack humans. But between 1918 and 1926, by official count, a man-eating leopard of India killed no less than 150 people. This unusual animal did its deeds along the twisting mountain trail as 60,000 pilgrims made their way to the Hindu shrines. The story of this man-eating leopard that stalked these pilgrims created national and international attention. The violence perpetrated by this frightening animal was widely publicized both in India and abroad. For 8 violent and bloody years, no one dared move after dark along the road where the killer prowled. No villager living in the nearby hills stirred from his home. This leopard, a large male, was strong enough to carry his victims up to 4 miles if necessary. This cat grew very bold. At first he took only those people foolish enough to sleep outdoors. But later he banged down doors and leaped through windows to get his victims. In several situations, he also clawed his way through the mud walls of their huts. Rewards were posted. Hundreds of special gun licenses were issued. Amateur sportsmen and local officials sat up all night and waited for the cat. Even army officials were encouraged to spend their lives tracking this animal, but nothing worked. This clever eater of human flesh and blood eluded every trap. Poison seemed only to encourage the animal. In their efforts to destroy it, 20 other leopards were shot, but the man-eater remained at large and very hungry. Finally, the anger over the inability to take control of the situation began to pour over into the halls of the British Parliament, the foreign power which ruled India at that time. But then the chaos and the blood and the violence was suddenly stopped. The man-eating beast was felled by a single bullet from the gun of a professional hunter. Now, reference to leopards and lions and tigers have often been used for centuries to convey ideas of an animal which moves quietly, especially as it stalks its prey. In the Bible, St. Peter also uses this image of a lion to describe the devil. In 1 Peter we read, "Be sober, be vigilant," which simply means be careful, "because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around looking for somebody that he can attack and destroy." In India, the man-eating leopard delivered his death-dealing blows in the darkness of night. And so we should not be surprised that in the Bible, the devil is called the ruler of darkness. However, this darkness referred to in the Bible is not merely the absence of light as we often know it. The spiritual darkness often spoken of in God's Word represents the frightening forces of Satan. Now, for our earthly life and for our heavenly hope, God in His divine Word teaches that there are, basically speaking, 2 powers and only 2 powers in the whole world, the power of light and the power of darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the devil is the ruler or the prince of darkness. And Christians, followers of the light, simply because of who they are, automatically become involved in the struggle with the devil. They confront the lurking powers of darkness, as St. Paul explains in Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord," the apostle says, "and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle," St. Paul explains, "is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." With the clear biblical teaching that the devil does exist and that he is, even now, destroying homes and lives and marriages, it is incredible to read in the religion section of Newsweek magazine that, in the opinion of some, the traditional Christian teaching of the devil is now considered to be only a myth, supposedly drawn from old legends. and authors of these articles, which appear from time to time, are not alone in their attempt to reject the clear biblical teaching of the existence of the devil. Quoted in Time magazine, a philosopher at the University of Chicago said that many liberal theologians have now discarded the idea of the existence of Satan. One theologian at Brown University in Rhode Island refuses to acknowledge the existence of the work of the devil. When adults or children are involved in evil, he says, this is no more than a type of psychological sickness, a sickness which keeps people from being good. But now let's take a moment and see not what man thinks, but rather what the Bible teaches concerning the devil. And even more important, let's ask the question of how can you and how can I live without fear that this agent of evil might suddenly spring upon us and destroy our families, our loved ones, and our homes. The writers of the New Testament do not spend a lot of time defining and detailing all the wicked schemes of the evil one. The Apostle John simply sums it all up when he says, the whole world is under the power of the evil one. This simple statement should serve as a spiritual siren, an alert, awakening Christians from spiritual drowsiness and reminding them of the forces of evil, which are, even at this hour, determined to destroy all the followers of the Savior. Now the good news, my friends, is this. The New Testament does not concentrate on the devil. Instead, these holy writings are filled with and testify to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered and forever defeated the prince of darkness. The Apostle John is speaking of this when he writes, and this is the message that we have heard from him, from Jesus, and announced to you that God is light, and that in him there is no darkness at all. Indeed, in God there is victory over our problems in life. In God there is no darkness like that of the evil one. The Apostle Peter echoes this same joy-filled message of the Savior's triumph over the devil and his victory over the ruler of darkness when he writes, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Of course, these great and bold men of God who spoke these beautiful and encouraging words knew of whom and of what they were speaking. They had heard this message of life and hope direct from the Master's lips when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. With divorce statistics now declaring that for every young couple united in marriage, before the altar of God, many of these same smiling and hope-filled people will soon slam into a brick wall erected by the devil. They will join the endless line of Satan's marital victims. They will experience anxiety and tears and the heartaches of a broken marriage. And these sobering facts of life cannot be encouraging to the young people of our land who are looking forward to a settled home and a solid future. Because even before they embark on their new life and marriage, the statistics predicting unhappiness are now stacked against them. And for this reason, the divine solution of this crisis must be clearly proclaimed by all clergy, by all evangelists, and by all Christian teachers. The answer is the blessed Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the deliverer of all now captive or threatened by the wiles of the devil. Centuries ago, Isaiah announced that it was Jesus who would bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to those imprisoned by the powers of Satan. And this Jesus Christ and his devil-defeating power is available now to all of you who desire to build a life, a marriage, and a career upon a foundation which cannot be shaken. In his glorious Easter victory over the devil's wickedness, Jesus demonstrated publicly that all who are connected to him by faith, yes, all his followers, will receive his protection. Faith in Jesus does not guarantee a life free of all difficulties, but faithful followers of the Savior receive the blessed assurance that when the demons of the devil come, and when the prince of darkness, the prowling lion, attacks believers, they may certainly be affected, and they may even be injured, but they will never be destroyed. Oh, my friends listening today, you and I may be buffeted by the devil, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are not Satan's slaves. And we are not his victims, and we are not under his control. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we become numbered among those who are most blessed in the world. We are among those Jesus was speaking of when he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have and shall possess the light of life. And along with the promise of protection from the devil and the powers of darkness, all followers of Jesus Christ can rest in the divine assurance that faithful followers of the Redeemer are secure. No one, even the devil himself, shall be permitted to pluck the blessed believers from the safety of the Heavenly Father's gracious hand. One mother in New Jersey was worried because her children often expressed the fear of demons and monsters. These children were especially upset at night when they went to bed. And so in her sincere efforts to help her children and to assist other mothers with similar problems, this lady developed a product which she claimed is effective. It comes in an aerosol container that mothers can spray in their children's rooms. It is called Anti-Demon and Monster Spray. One can cost $2.20 plus $1.18 for postage and handling. Of course, if such antics as described in this newspaper story were not so terribly tragic, they would be humorous. Aerosol spray, no matter what it contains, is no more going to stop and stave off the devil than a mosquito could stop a 20-ton earth-moving machine. The only force, yes, the only force effective against demons and the devil is the victorious Easter resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You and I can possess this devil-defeating force. This happens when we have faith and total trust in Jesus Christ. When we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believe in Jesus Christ, then God places a shield of protection around us. Like an umbrella which repels rain, so also our Heavenly Father's hands of love and protection daily guard all those who hide completely in the outstretched arms of the loving Savior. And so when you and I follow Jesus by faith, we are not only protected from the evil forces of darkness, we are also assured of the forgiveness of all of our sins. Because you see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God the Father accepted the bloody sacrifice of his only Son, Jesus, as a full payment for all the sins that you and I have ever committed. And when you and I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then these soul-saving merits of Jesus are granted to us by grace. St. John announces this good news when he writes, But if we walk in the light, just as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. And then John further explains that if we say that we have no sin, we are only deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar out of God, and God's saving word is not in us. Oh, my friend, let the Word of God, the Word of life, live in you. Let the Word protect you every day and every night. Because, you see, the Word is light, and that light is the life of men. There is no other life and salvation under heaven by which we can be saved. Yes, let this light, this life, this living Word assure your heart and troubled soul of complete forgiveness. Let the Word provide the assurance of life that you need so that you can go to the office tomorrow morning. And so that you can begin your task as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, or as a student. And so that you can do it with confidence in your heart and a smile on your face. And let the Word of God rule in your home freely. Only God's constant assurance of forgiveness and mercy can remove all the grudges among family members, and then also heal all hearts of harsh words between husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and parents and children. Yes, my friends, let the Word of light and life rule in your home. Let the Spirit of God open your heart to the words of the Savior, who is now saying to you, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall possess and shall have the light of life. Just as you today desire a happy marriage and a harmonious home, God also deeply desires for you to enjoy these special blessings which he now offers. These divine blessings are not available to be purchased at a retail shop. The greatest of all life's blessings come from God and through His living Word. This is what Jesus was talking about when He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall possess the light of life." And so, my friend, our prayer for you today is this, that by God's grace you would see Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and that you would follow Him, and that you and your entire family might have forever, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the light and the hope of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray this for you today. Amen.